The word psalm comes from a Greek word that means a poem sung to musical accompaniment. So there's basically two purposes for the psalms that were written. There were psalms that were written to be sung by a choir in a worship setting, and there were psalms that were written for personal devotion or to be recited by family. Some of the psalms would be recited by families. They were on the way to Jerusalem to worship the Passover and observe the Passover. So there's a lot of different purposes for the psalms. But as we look at the construction of the psalms, there's a lot of times, this thing is not working very well. We've got a lot of different authors. So David only wrote 73 of them. And a third of the psalms are actually anonymous. We don't know exactly who wrote them. So there's many different authors. And as you look at the actual content of the or structure of the book, you have the first two chapters, Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, that are kind of an introduction to the book. And essentially, all of these different authors wrote these psalms, and throughout the history of Israel, the different psalms were kind of stitched together to create a narrative, a story. So a lot of these things you won't be able to see until you read through the entire book, and you'll see some of those movements and some of those ideas that are encapsulated as you move through the book. But there are three different types of psalms. There is the synonymous psalm, and that would just mean that the different lines repeat the same theme. Psalms 15:1 would be an example of that. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? So both of those lines have identical meanings. It's just a synonymous retelling of the same idea. So that is one type of psalm. Another is an antithetic psalm, which would be you have one idea in the first line. In the second line, you'll have the opposing idea, such as in Psalm 37:9. Be cut off for those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. So we have the synonymous, the antithetic, and then there's the synthetic, which is an idea of building on of an idea. And we see that in Psalms 19, verses 8 and 9. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. So we have a building of information as we go through the different lines of Psalms 19:8-9. So what that is called parallelism. Because if you think about poetry, as we think about poetry, you think about rhyme and meter and the way it sounds. Well, Hebrew poetry is more about the opposition or the comparison of ideas. So that parallelism is how they would write poetry, idea matching an idea or an idea opposed to an idea, rather than them being in a meter or a rhythmic cadence. They had more of the idea of the text rather than the sound of the text. And there are lots of different forms. One of the interesting things about Psalms 119 is that it is an alphabetic poem. So each verse starts with the sequential letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So, and we've mentioned before that all of the verses of Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, have to do with God's Word. And each verse begins with the letters of the alphabet that comes next. So it's a lot of different mechanisms, a lot of different things that they put together to make the Psalms something that was interesting to read. And the book of Psalms would not be something that would be light reading. It wouldn't be something that you read through and go, oh, that was fun. Rather, it's intended to be something that you would read through and you really have to kind of meditate on it, because it's not a narrative. It's not a this happened, then that happened, and then this is the result. Rather, it's the subject matter of each of the chapters is telling a story by the content that they bring. So as you read, you're finding yourself immersed in the ideas of the Psalms rather than being carried along by the story of the narrative. So it really takes a lot of attention and intentionality to understand and to follow the lines of the book of Psalms. So the books of Psalms are five. Now we think about the book of Psalms being one, but there's actually, and if you look, I don't know if your Bible has it, but if you look at chapter 3 and chapter 42, above that in your Bible heading might be, like above chapter 42 would be book 2. So the book of Psalms is broken down into five different books, and each of those books are part of that storytelling motif. To begin with, books 1 and 2, so that would be chapters 3 through 72, tell the story of David and his family and all of the complicated and difficult and horrible things that happened during David's reign. Book 3, chapters 73 through 89, are detailing Israel's exile and downfall after the line of David kind of came to an unceremonious end. Then the books 4 and 5 deal with hope after the exile. So after they come back from exile from the land, there's a hope for the Messiah and for God's kingdom that is expressed in those last two books, chapters 90 through 145. So this structure kind of shows you the ideas behind Psalms. They're put together very intentionally. It's not just like you could pick one of the chapters of Psalms and you would be just as good as reading the ones in the back of the book. Rather, those have a sequential meaning. They're put intentionally where they are to create a flow of thought and an idea that you can actually learn about God, about Israel and their history. It's interesting, in the first half, most of Psalms would be what are called lament Psalms. So what would that involve? Very sorrowful and, oh Lord, why is this happening? And there's lots of interesting things that come, a lot of references to Christ in the Psalms. We'll get into those, but the first half, and there are praise Psalms in there as well, but most of them are lament. The second half, the praise Psalms, because you have a return from the exile and a hope for the kingdom. So there are much more praise psalms in the last half than there are in the first half. So the book of Psalms is loaded with lament and praise, but the praise outweighs the lament. There are more praise for God and who he is, and there's lots of psalms that are just absolutely beautiful that regard the majesty and the power and the omnipotence of God, and you really learn a lot about the character and the attributes of God by going through the book of Psalms. So
just the sheer mass of singers is unbelievable. It's crazy.
Yeah, the whole nation knew these. Yeah, there was obviously there was a group of people that were designated as the choir, the singers that would have some of these psalms that they would sing in times of worship, but everybody knew them. And this was a kind of a national hymn book, but it wasn't just a hymn book, it was more of a history book. Because, like I said, it tells a story. It moves from David through the exile and on into the hope for the kingdom and the coming.